Thank the Lord for an opportunity to look into His Word again. I very much desire today that the Lord would anoint what is said, that His Holy Spirit would be with us this morning, and that His Word would be edifying, and that it would reach hearts. So I desire your attention and your prayers this morning. I've written on the board principal ingredient. We have discussed now at length, I guess for two services now, two Sundays, the subject of wisdom and how that wisdom was personified as crying in the streets for all to hear, for all to avail themselves of. And yet, for many different reasons, people pass it on by. Some pass wisdom by that's available for them to have because they feel like that they already have it. We've also been considering the verse in the 111th Psalm, the 10th verse. And I invite you to turn there again this morning as we continue our study. And it reads that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I so hope, I so desire that we get a hold of what it means when it says the fear of the Lord. That was the subject of last Sunday's message. That the fear of the Lord in this context is not living in a spiritually scared and fearful state, worrying that the Lord is looking for reasons to cut us away and out of His kingdom and erase our names from the Lamb's Book of Life. The fear of the Lord in this context is not referring to that. It's not referring to living a Christian life where the absence of rest and the absence of peace is a central part of your Christian life because you're living in fear of maybe I won't make it. Maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe there's something I don't see. What if I get to the end of the way and the Lord says, "Depart from me, I never knew you," and yet I did everything I know to do and I'd given my heart to it, and when I failed, I would get back up and ask for forgiveness and go on. But what if? The fear of the Lord does not mean that in this context. That is not the experience that the Lord came to bring us. But the fear of the Lord means having the highest respect, having reverence and awe for the power and authority of God, so much so that we believe into the way of the Lord, that we give our hearts and our lives to it, because we reverence, we respect, we look up to, we honor, we adore the God of heaven, not just in word, but in deed. With our lives. And we give Him our all. Willingly, happily, Yes. Knowing that there is an eternity, there is an end, there is a judgment, and yes, there will be those that are eternally separated from God because they chose to be separated from God in this life. But that God is a God of love. And He is a God that desires us to experience His love, and that He might also feel our love, that we might be able to raise our hands with the testimony of the verse that applies to each and every one of us, where we can say that perfect love casteth out all fear. Perfect love casteth out all of the scared type of fear. Yes, without God, we should be fearful. But with God, we don't need to be fearful. We can, we should, we should not expect or accept anything less than having an experience of salvation that is one of peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so now, with the meaning of the fear of the Lord once again established, I'd like to continue now with what comes next. It says the fear of the Lord, that which we just briefly described, is the beginning of wisdom. The beginning. What does the word beginning mean? What does it mean when it says the beginning of wisdom? Beginning means, it means the start. A beginning means the initial stage. And in this context, the beginning means the foundation, the primary building blocks of wisdom. The beginning usually means that there's something else that follows. When you're in the beginning of something and you tell somebody or you hear somebody say, well, in the beginning or at the beginning, what that also tells you is, well, okay, there's something that comes next. There's a middle, perhaps. And in this time world, there's an end. And so if there's no beginning, there's no foundation upon which anything else can be built, it's pretty hard to get to the middle or to the end. And so the beginning is the initial stage. It's the primary building blocks. The beginning is, it is the principal ingredient. The fear of the Lord is the principal ingredient of wisdom. It's the beginning of wisdom. And without it, without the fear of the Lord, without this principal ingredient, and starting somewhere else, there is no true wisdom. Can't find it. Many people in the world today profess wisdom, promote it, advertise it, beckon us to that which is advertised as right and true and good to follow after. But when it is absent the principal ingredient, the fear of the Lord, it's living in deception. That's all there is to it. It's deception. And lives end with the promise of life and fulfillment and yet end in disappointment, heartache, and unfortunately, eternal death. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. It's the principal ingredient of wisdom. What is wisdom? Have you thought about that word wisdom very much? What does wisdom mean? You see, wisdom goes farther than, it's deeper than knowledge and understanding. Wisdom is when one is able to properly apply wisdom, or rather, knowledge and understanding. It is the proper and right application of knowledge and understanding. And it goes farther than that. Wisdom allows one to make sound decisions in the absence of complete knowledge and understanding. Have you ever heard the turn of phrase, they were wise beyond their years? Have you ever heard someone say that? That person, they're wise beyond their years. What do they mean by that? It's one that often two things. Somebody that you would not think at that point in life would have the level of knowledge and understanding that they demonstrated, perhaps, one. But more importantly, how they applied it. Wisdom involves judgment and discretion. Wisdom is the ability to recognize the peripheral elements of a situation when other things are getting all the focus and the attention. And yet one that is wise is able to look past where everyone is pointing and see those other elements on the side that make all the difference. Another example, sleight of hand. Have you heard that phrase before? Sleight of hand means somebody that is doing something with this hand and they're doing everything they can to get you to focus on this hand, while what's really mattering and making the difference is happening in this hand over here. But you're so focused on this hand, you're so focused on the commotion and the noise and the beckoning to look and the flurry and the promise that something's going to happen over here, that you miss what's happening over here. And what's happening over here is what's going to make all the difference. And today, the enemy of our soul and the spirit of the world is a master at sleight of hand. The spirit of the world, with much noise and lights and flash and promise and advertising, gets our attention focused on over here. And we begin to think that that is where all the difference is made. And yet, one that is wise recognizes that what truly matters is over here, where the attention is not being given, Wisdom cries in the streets. Wisdom cries in the chief places, at the gate of the city. And yet there is so much that is happening in the city. There's so much that happens in life. There is so much that's promoted and put in front of us that appeals to our eyes and our ears and our hearts and our minds, that we are taken with these things that everyone flocks to. And yet, the thing that matters most, it's crying to be heard, and yet the Spirit of the Lord does all that He can to reach and to cry out without forcing, while the enemy of our souls is endeavoring to perform the greatest sleight of hand ever performed. Wisdom, true wisdom, allows us to be able to understand what matters most and make it matter. I desire to have wisdom. I want to experience life. I want to experience a good end. I do not want to live my life carried away with all of the purported wisdom of the world. While God is saying on one hand, the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. And yet, there is so much attention given to all of these things that draw us, and at the same time whisper in our ear that if we turn away from it, we are going to leave on the table the things that provide the greatest fulfillment in life, and that we will be left behind if we stop and we follow the way less traveled. One of the most difficult things for people to do is to follow the way less traveled. We find comfort and security in the broad path, the wide path, the way that the multitudes follow after, the way that appeals to our flesh. And as we heard this morning so often, the way where there are elements of truth inserted into it to make it look that much more convincing, but it also looks like that we can have the way of the flesh too. That we can have it all. And so we go that way. Wide is the gate, broad is the way. Many there be that go in thereat. But narrow is the gate and straight is the way that leads to life eternal. Few there be that find it. Why? Because the Lord is trying to make it difficult for us to find? Because He's trying to deceive us and trick us and or make it so difficult that we can't find the way? No. The Lord is, He's crying out to every person that passes by. Wisdom cries in the street. Have the fear of the Lord. It's the principal ingredient of wisdom. And yet, the multitudes pass on by. And at the end of it all, there is no life. Disappointment, heartache, thoughts of, if I only had listened, if I had only lived and obeyed that still small voice that I knew was right, But I allowed myself to get carried away with my own wisdom, with my own desires, with the multitudes, with the way that I thought I could get by with, if only we do not have to live and die with the testimony of if only. Every single one of us today can stop. And we can avail ourselves of the wisdom that cries in the street that is offered, price paid for, that all of us might have eternal life. But you know, I am concerned and sobered by what the Scriptures also tell us about the last days, because I feel like we're entering the last days. I think the disciples probably thought they were in the last days, and things may get a whole lot worse than they are today before the Lord comes back. But there are things in the second, in the third chapter of 2 Timothy that Paul outlined as, here's what's going to start happening in the last days, and many of those things are happening. One of the things that is mentioned in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, 7th verse, that men would ever be learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning, but never coming to true wisdom. And the wisdom that men purport to have today, knowledge and understanding, some of it is pretty amazing, actually. Some of the things that have been discovered, the advances that have been made in physics and chemistry and biology, we can allow knowledge and understanding to turn into a god for us in a way that causes us to turn away from the one true God and miss everything. With all the knowledge and understanding, it seems like more and more we are being told why people do what they do. We're being taught that the reason that you have a problem in this area is because of all of these things that happened in your life or in your childhood, or, and there's a lot of psychoanalysis that goes on, and it's not that it's all false, but it's not the answer. The reason that people have trouble in life and can't get a hold on life, yea, abundant life, is because we pass right by the fear of the Lord, true wisdom, and we miss the answer. We miss what the primary cause of trouble is in life, which is sin, which is the absence of God. Living without the Lord and being taken with our own knowledge and understanding. And the Scripture says, ever learning, never coming to the knowledge of the truth. I don't want to be caught up in that. I don't want to turn a blind eye to knowledge and understanding. I enjoy and I welcome additional knowledge and understanding. But I don't want to be in the place where I am categorized as one that embraces the wisdom of the world and misses life. While all the while it is crying on the street to be heard. The fear of the Lord, living in the fear of the Lord with respect and reverence and trust and confidence and giving my life to it. It's there for all of us this morning to embrace and follow after. We don't have to continue on. And so I want to understand the verse that says that the beginning, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So we've spent 3 Sundays on it. And so I'd like to try to summarize this verse with what we've talked about. Having a deep respect for the God of heaven, a reverence, where we recognize the power and authority of God in a way that causes us to give our lives fully over to following Jesus Christ, is the principal ingredient of making decisions that result in peace in the things that matter most. I want to try to say it one more time. Having the utmost respect for the God of heaven, recognizing His authority and His power, recognizing that God in heaven is the great I Am. He's the Creator. He's right. Pilate said, "What is truth?" God is truth. Recognizing that God is truth. So much so that we are willing to say, "Lord God in heaven, I give you my life happily, willingly. Lord, I'm not worthy to serve you, but I'll serve you. Lord, I'm not worthy of your love. But thank you, Lord. I will follow all the way, holding nothing back." That is the principal ingredient. It's the start. It's the foundational building blocks of making decisions, of applying the knowledge and the understanding that all of us here have been taught, many of us from the time we were children, that will result in peace in the things that matter most. And so the psalmist said, with very few words, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Just don't read past it too quick. Don't blow past that verse. Don't let it go in one ear and out the other. I want to live. I don't want to die. I want to experience life, an abundant life. I want to have wisdom that leads to peace in the things that matter most. And so I don't want to follow any other way. Because again, As Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. I want to live in the fear of the Lord. The good news this morning is that every single one of us can have this testimony in the end. I thank Thee, Father, by Your grace and by Your love and by Your mercy that You called my name and that You helped me to live in the fear of the Lord. I'd like to conclude this morning in the 35th chapter of Isaiah. And I ask you this morning to stay with me the last couple minutes. You don't want to miss this. Isaiah 35, in verse 8, it says, "And a highway shall be there, and a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring man, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there on the highway of holiness. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness," thank the Lord, "and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." And that highway of holiness has been made available for every one of us. This is a highway, a road that is so important, that is a bridge for us, a bridge of safety that takes us from sin to holiness, that spans the gulf that would have ended in death and yet takes us from death to life. It is a highway that leads us through the fire. It's a highway that takes us through the deep waters. It is a highway of holiness that helps us over and through and around the mountains that we otherwise would not be able to traverse. It is a highway that takes us to life. And yes, there's a toll booth. Not all shall pass over it. The unclean shall not pass over it. But I want to share with you the good news this morning, that at the toll booth, the requirement for us is that we have accepted the gift of Jesus Christ. That we have accepted the plan of salvation where He paid the price for our sins. That we ask for forgiveness and that with humility we repented of our sins and accepted the blood as a ransom for our sins. And if we are willing, we are able to pass through the toll booth with the price paid by Jesus Christ. And we are able to get on this highway of holiness, a road that is clear. It's not confusing. It's a way of peace. The lions, the ravenous beasts, there is nothing that is allowed to steal away our salvation as long as we stay on this road. They may tempt us. They may roar from the other side of the guardrails. We do not have to pay attention to them. They do not have the right, the ability. They are not given the rights to get onto the highway of holiness. Jesus Christ made a way for us that we can live in peace and confidence with expectation that we know where this road goes. And if we are willing to go this way, it will take us on a path of life, abundant life, And one of these days, if we're faithful to stay on the road, we'll hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." What a blessing that these verses are intended to be for us. May all of us this morning, with all of our hearts, purpose to live in the fear of the Lord. Maybe we could stand this morning. There's a song that says, "Ever lead me." Let's stand and sing that song. Amen.